Thank you for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com. That's strengthforthejourney.com. This program is number 38 if you're listening by shortwave radio. And thank you for joining us tonight. We are in the process still of getting ready for our next crusade. Today, 100,000 tracts were ordered. And we're looking forward to getting those maybe in another 3 or 4 weeks. But we're very excited. The money has come in to provide for 100,000 tracts. And we're just really thrilled to know how many lives that these tracts are going to touch. I encourage you to check out a website. It's Chick. It's C-H-I-C-K.com. It's Chick Publications. And they do a cartoon track that has a very interesting stories. They're very well read, and we have had great success using these tracts, passing them out. We've had a number of testimonies of people receiving them in another city and how it has affected their life. So we know this is making a big impact. And really one of the most exciting things is that many people are desiring to pass them out. We have what we call care packages, and we put about 50 tracts together, an assortment of different stories, and people who would like to go pass them out at school or to their neighbors, or if they're pastors and they wanted to distribute them to their congregation. We have about 30 pastors here that are associated with this church here in Boquete, and that's one of the reasons why we've passed out and distributed about 35,000 tracts in about 2 months. So there's a great army of people that are excited about reaching the lost, and this is, I believe, the demonstration of God's love inside of us. You know, Jesus said that the first two commandments, the main commandments that he wants us to follow, the first ones that begin our walk with him is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he said the second is this, that you love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe the Lord recently revealed some things to me that our love for God, our love and obedience to him and demonstration by our obedience is our act of love and fulfilling the first commandment is the enabling of the second commandment, because he has a way of filling our heart with love when we love him. And this is the love that we need to demonstrate or give to other people that don't have love, the unlovely, people that are out there on the streets, the down and out, that nobody cares about. But God cares about them, and he's looking for people to care about them too. And that's why this is his demonstration of love to reach the lost. And I believe that also if we're loving our neighbor as ourselves, that if we are as concerned and love ourselves enough that we want our own salvation, that if we love our neighbor as ourselves, then we're going to want to see their salvation just as badly as our own. And this is why I think it's important that you begin to demonstrate that love that you have inside of you. If you are a believer and you say you love the Lord, this is how you demonstrate it, is to love other people and love people that aren't going to, or you're not going to get anything back. It says that if you love those that love you, what thanks have you or what are you going to benefit? But if you love those that don't love you, God's going to reward you. And you can go on the website there and you can order the tracts directly and they'll ship them to you. And I just encourage you, there's a number of different stories. You can read any of the tracts online. Just make a purchase and I guarantee you, you'll be blessed when you begin to pass these out. I know our people are so excited now that they're seeing results in the fruit of their labor. So this is something that we're endeavoring here is the tracts, and we're still pursuing the big crusade in November. The other morning I had another word. Many times I'll get up during the night, sometime before the sun gets up, and I just begin to write. And sometimes I just have a thought on my mind. I write it down. And the thought that came to my mind one morning was the price of disobedience. And it started out like this. It says, who can name the price of disobedience? That price isn't determined by the disobedient, but by the authority over the one disobedient. That price is determined by another one at another time and many times at another location. The price of disobedience comes in many forms. Sometimes the price is shame. Sometimes it's guilt. Sometimes remorse. Sometimes depression. And sometimes death. But there's always a price to pay. A thief may walk away with what belongs to another, but there's always a price to pay. That price remains a mystery and will remain hidden to be revealed at a later date. Many who claim to believe don't understand, nor can they comprehend the ultimate price of disobedience. Just as the rewards of obedience are beyond comprehension, the ultimate consequences of disobedience cannot be comprehended. Can a man rob God? Aren't his eyes greater than man's? To allow the thought that we can get away with anything that God sees not is truly short-sighted and ill-advised. We will all receive the just reward for our good or for our evil, for our obedience or for our disobedience. There is a judge in the heavens that can't be seen, but sees all and knows all. When you truly believe this, you will act as a believer. For someone to claim to believe but doesn't really believe that God knows all and sees all isn't really a believer, and therefore cannot act as a believer. Therefore, the reward will be with those who never claim to believe and will receive their portion with them. Jesus qualified his true believers, those who truly believe. If Jesus passed by the majority of churchgoers and said, "Follow me," the excuses would be no different than they were 2,000 years ago. The excuses were nothing more than a manifestation of what a person valued. Sometimes people meant more to themselves than Jesus meant to them. Sometimes their stuff meant more. The Lord recently spoke to me regarding the value we place on our stuff. He said, "If your possessions mean more to you than me, you can have them. But the price to keep them will be much more than the price you paid to get them." Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." To reject following and obeying him is to reject life as well. The price tag on that ultimate act of disobedience is more than anyone can pay nor can bear. No man can even comprehend the pain of their entire body being consumed in flames, nor can anyone comprehend that pain never ending. The rejection of that possibility is why the world continues as it always has, enjoying life for the moment as it travels down the broad path of disobedience. How much is eternal life worth? Everything. How much will it cost us? Everything. How many are willing to pay the price? Few. Will you be among the few? That is the determination that we all must make. And remember that he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved. So throw this excuse book in the fire, because if we don't, he will. Toss it into the fire, because our excuses will only excuse us from his presence. If we are attached to our excuses, then when they go into the fire, we will as well. That is the ultimate price of disobedience. It's time to repent of our self-minded, rebellious ways and submit to his authority. For the rebellious will have their part in the lake of fire. The reward of the obedient is as incomprehensible as the punishment of the disobedient. God designed each one of us to know the difference between obedience and disobedience, and he gave each one of us a conscience to convict our hearts when we do wrong. It has always been our compass to guide us in the storms of confusion between right and wrong, good and bad. The question is whether we've hardened and thereby numbed our conscience through unrepentant disobedience, or have we sensitized our conscience through repentance of obedient disobedience and acts of obedience? None of us has gotten away with anything. Therefore, we must repent and be restored to our former condition. Jeremiah 15:19 says, "Therefore, this is what the Lord says, if you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me." Repentance will restore our innocence and childlike trust. Jesus said in Matthew 18:3, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." Converted means reverse, turn back again. It comes from a Greek word, strepho. We have to be converted in our hearts. Our hearts is where the conversion takes place. It's our guiding light. It says, out of the heart come the issues of life. Everything in our life comes out of our heart, and this is where the change has to take place inside of us. This is the place of conversion. If our heart isn't right, then nothing else will be right, because everything comes from our heart. And we're going to listen to a song here. It's a song by Hillsong, and it's called "Nothing Like Your Love."
Love unchanging, God, your mercy never fades. And I'm surrounded by your compassion and than the sun, more beautiful than words could ever say. This endless light shining over all, it leads me to your glory everlasting. Thank you.
your love. That love amazing fills my heart, and I sing out, there's nothing like your love. You know, that's the love that changes our heart. You know, it's the love of God that comes into us that transforms us from the inside out. It's not a work on the outside. It's got to be done from the inside. Jesus said that the cup has to be cleaned from the inside out before the outside can be cleaned. And that's the work that has to go on inside of our heart. And this is how we serve Him. We serve Him with all of our heart. We love Him with all of our heart. He said, if you love me, He said, love me in word and deed. Don't just say it with your mouth. He doesn't want lip service. He doesn't want just people just saying one thing, but they do another. They live one way behind closed doors, and they live another way in front of people. He wants us to be genuine. He wants to be sincere. There's an article I wrote a while back. It's called Without Wax, Now Are We Wax Free? And it's about how there is in the old times, back in the Roman days, they would make statues or chisel statues, and sometimes there may be a flaw. And if there was a flaw, many times they would use wax to cover up the flaw. And the only way you would find out whether there was wax on the statue was to have to take it into the sun where it was hot, and the sun would melt and it would expose the flaws. And this is what the sun does in our life too, is that the Son of God, when His light shines in our lives, it exposes the flaws in our life. And we have an opportunity to either repent when He shows us things that aren't right, or we harden our heart. And it's the same way as the condition of the heart depends on what happens when the truth is exposed to us, whether we harden like clay or we melt like wax when the sun, we're in the presence of the sun. And God wants us to be humble and broken. He wants a servant. He wants us to serve Him with all of our hearts. And there's a word in here that really kind of jumps out at me a number of times in the Old Testament. It talks about a perfect heart, or heart that is perfect before Him. And David was a man after God's own heart. And Solomon was taking over the duties of his father. And in 1 Kings, it talks about when Solomon was getting ready to take his father's place. It said, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God. So he wanted his heart to be perfect, because if our heart isn't right before God, our actions won't be right before Him either. And this is something that all of us have to understand, that if our hearts are inclined to do what's wrong, it will do that. And in 1 Kings chapter 8, it goes on in verse 58, and he says that he's on his knees before God, and he's got his arms spread up to heaven, and he's blessing the people as he's taking over this commission. And it says, the Lord our God be with us as He was with our fathers. Let Him not leave us nor forsake us, that He may incline our hearts unto Him and walk in all of His ways and keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, which He commanded our fathers. And in verse 61, it says, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day. So this is a commission that He's presenting to the people, that they would have a heart that's perfect before Him. But then again, He's the king, and He has to lead by example. He's the leader of this group of Israelites. And in verse 28, in chapter 28, that is, in 1 Chronicles, in this commission, again, it's recorded another point here. In verse 9, it says, and thou, Solomon, my son, this is David now saying this, know thou the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou wilt seek Him, He will be found of thee. But if thou forsake Him, He will cast thee off forever. So David made a very clear point here of something he had learned in walking with the Lord, that He knows all of our thoughts. There's nothing that's hidden from Him. Just like in this word that I got the other morning, that there's nothing that's hidden from Him that His eyes see from the heavens. He has a different perspective. He can see almost like a, if you want to look at it like a satellite or a drone that has the ability to see a long ways away. That's just man's technology. God's technology goes much further than man's will ever go. And he can see us from the heavens. His eyes are greater than ours. And to allow the thought that we can get away with anything that God doesn't see is truly short-sighted and ill-advised. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 8, it talks about how when judgment came to Israel, it says the ancients of Israel said in their heart, God sees not. And so essentially they did all sorts of things in the dark, and they worshiped other gods because they didn't really believe God could see them. And this is really the mark between a believer and an unbeliever, whether or not we really believe he can see from the heavens and he knows everything about us. The Bible talks about omniscience and omnipotence, that he's all power and he's all knowing. And for us to understand that, we will act differently because we will fear and reverence that almighty power that he has. But the problem is, many times our hearts begin to get torn. The things of this world begin to draw us away from that heart after God. And this is something that happened to King Solomon, is that he began to enjoy the pleasures of this world. He had so much. He was blessed beyond anybody else that's ever lived. He had so much stuff, you might say, that his stuff began to grip his heart. And as it began to grip his heart, he began to turn away from the Lord. And in his latter days, when he was about to die, it says that he had gone after other gods. In 1 Kings chapter 11, it says that, and this is on his deathbed as he's dying, it says, in verse 1 of chapter 11, 1 Kings, it says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, the women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zedonites, and the Hittites." So it says he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. So it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David, his father. So he didn't follow his father's advice to guard his heart. It is absolutely critical for all of us to realize how much our heart can be gripped by the things of this world. When Jesus made his qualifications to be a disciple, he said that we had to deny ourselves, pick up our cross daily. And that means that this is a daily walk that God has for us, that at any point in time, our heart can get turned away from him and be drawn to the things of this world. And we always have to be in check with whether our heart's being drawn away, whether we love anybody more than him, whether we love ourselves more than him, whether we love our stuff more than him, and maybe we love our recognition, our prestige, our just the things, the pride of life. It says all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the three areas that are always bidding for us, bidding for our soul, bidding for our heart. We have to be on guard, and it has to be a daily walk. It's not something that we did a number of years ago and we feel like we're good. That's why people who think that just because they prayed a prayer of salvation that they're good, that they've made this journey, and now it's just a matter of time when they die and they're going to be in the presence of the Lord. But you know, Jesus said that not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom, but he that does the will of my Father. So this is a die daily. This is a follow after the Lord daily. This is making sure that his heart, our heart, is after his heart daily. And one of the things I think that really helps is that when you seek the will and looking after the needs of others, I think this has a great effect on our lives, when we quit looking at ourselves and trying to provide and please ourselves on a daily basis, but looking what we can do to please others, because it's not pleasing others necessarily, but it's looking after the needs of others and seeing that their needs are important. And I mentioned this on a program or two ago about the early church, and it says that that the disciples in the early church had all things common, that none of them considered anything their own, that they considered each other's needs as well. And I think that's just a demonstration that we really do have God's love inside of us, and we see that there's another man that has needs. You know, here in Panama, there's many people that are without, and they live in dirt floors. They have just a tin roof and you know, just a makeshift house. But this is where they live, and many of them, they work daily. When you go to the little stores here, they're buying their food almost daily. It's not like something that they have big cupboards full. And you think, my goodness, you know, look at how much I have compared to these people. And literally, when we see the needs of others, there should be a compassion that goes out to them. How can I help them in some way or form? And this is the demonstration that God's love is inside, because there's a compassion and a desire to want to help somebody else and not just live for ourselves. And this is just one of the qualifications that Jesus asked of us. He said, deny yourself. Because really, if we're still living for self, it's virtually impossible to deny ourselves, because it's like we feel like we're going to die. But this is all about a death. It's all about a death to ourself, to follow Him, to live for Him. Because to really live for Him, we got to quit living for ourselves. And just amazing things too is that as you are really seeking to do the Lord's will, that He has a way of providing for you. And I look back at the amount of time that I worked and the effort it took for me just to live for myself and provide for my family and how much work I did. It's amazing how God, while I've come here to do His will, He's provided in ways beyond my imagination. And this is the way He is. He will provide for us when we're looking after the needs of others and not living for ourselves. He will go above and beyond the call of duty to meet our needs and see that everything that we need is there for us. And I know He wants to do that for each one of us. He loves us, and He wants to demonstrate His love and His provision for us, but we have to trust Him. Thanks again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with 4thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time.